some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Everybody, welcome back to a Tuesday night episode of Rated G Radio. We have the luxury tonight of having a metaphysical author join the show. His name is Jeff Michaels. He's been on the show in the past and other incarnations. We may talk about that in just a minute or two, but I want to let you kind of know the roadmap for where we're going the rest of this week. After tonight's show, we have psychic Zoe Niklaus joining us on Wednesday's show. She'll be taking your calls. You can call in starting at 6:45. That's when the phone lines open up. She'll take one question from you on Wednesday's show. On Thursday, we have, well, he's a illustrator, but he's also a music manager, and he's a phenom in the British world of entertainment. Mr. Paul Tamms is joining us at 9 a.m. our time, Pacific Standard Time, on Thursday to talk about his career and also a new Kickstarter campaign he has for All American Divas. And it is really a great story, and I can't wait for the opportunity to visit with him. I've been chatting with him on email and Facebook Instant Messenger about the appearance, and we're going to have a great time. So that will be on Thursday's show at 9 a.m., so set your clocks. Better yet, just follow the show, Rated G Radio, right here on Blog Talk, and it will send you an email or text message of your choosing anytime we have a live broadcast. We're broadcasting live 5 days a week. And then on Friday's show, also from the UK, a rock band by the name of Pink Cigar. You know, somebody in their management team, you know, there's probably like, you know, Paul and John's, you know, rock band or something. And then, you know, their management got a hold of them and said, you guys are never going to sell any records with a name like that. You've got to change it. Let's come up with something. Okay, what was the color of your girlfriend's lipstick? And what were you smoking last night? Pink Cigar. You know, it's probably like one of those. But we're going to talk to the band on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Again, they're in the UK, so we need to get them while they are awake. Now, I have a feeling if they're this, you know, crazy rock band, and we played some of their music on the show last Friday night, that you may think that these guys would be up at 2 or 3 in the morning and have no problem being on an interview at 7 p.m. I'm not going to chance it. So we're going to do the show on both Thursday and Friday at 9 a.m., and I hope you are able to tune in. But without further ado, as we always say, I'm going to bring my good friend and author and so much more, Mr. Jeff Michaels, back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Is this Brother Garrett?
I hope so. Otherwise, I hijacked the show, and you know, it's a, you know, I'm in the wrong spot. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just checking. You know.
Okay.
No, it's always nice to be back in the studio with you, Mr. Brother Miller. I like the decorations this time. Halloween decorations. You got the witch sisters up on the wall there, that poster. It's nice.
I've upgraded a little bit since last time,
yeah.
And you know, of course, I've got the big life-size edition of A Day at the Beach, the book that we're going to be talking about in just a couple of minutes. But what a pleasure to revisit this book. Now, for everybody who's listening, this is not a quote-unquote new book that Jeff has put out. This is a book that we just thought, with the time of the year and the energies that are going out, this would be a fun book to talk to the listeners about, or you know, share it with the listeners. And it's been a hot minute since I've had a chance to read the book. And I'd forgotten how emotional that I get when I start diving into these stories, but I don't want to scare everybody yet. I mean, but it's like I'm sitting here crying reading these stories today, and I can't help it. I mean, but it's in a good way, not like, oh my God, this writing is so bad, but it's, the stories have touched me so deeply, and I didn't see it coming out of left field. So I don't know, Jeff, I'm telling you.
That's like the biggest compliment I can have, because that's kind of the purpose of the book, is to touch people, make them feel.
Well, you do an excellent job of that. But one of the things that, again, I'm delaying talking about the book, because that's all we're going to do for the next hour, folks. So I have a lot of like little teasers and things that I want to throw out there, because Jeff is going to come back in February or March, and we just have to figure out what's going to happen, because he's got a trilogy that he's not here to talk about tonight. I'm going to ask him to bring it up just simply because it is, very exciting because the first book has just been released. Can you give us like a quick, just to wet their whistle, because the book will be on the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page on Amazon for people to also purchase. But can you give us a tease, and then we'll dive into A Day at the Beach.
Well, the book is called Tasa's Path, and it's book one of a trilogy. And I've been working on this book for 10 years, this series for 10 years. Book two and three are well along on their way. Originally, the book Tasa's Path started out kind of as a counterpoint to some of the darker fantasies that were out there. It took on a darker life of its own. What I wanted was happy people having fun all the time, and it's not a real world situation that way. But what we did do was we brought up situations where how do these girls deal with the real world, and how does their school deal with the real world? So now it happens that the school is a mystical school. It's fairies and elves, or actually there's no fairies in this one, but there is some dragons, some giants, and they come on a little bit later in the book, but they do also face some very, very unpleasant invasion of their peaceful surroundings. So over the last 10 years, that's the theme that has developed out of that book. But it is still a fun book. The characters, I like them a lot. It started out as about a 40,000-word novella, and now it's up to 100-some-thousand words. So we just released it, and I'm very, very happy with the final product. I've been working all day on book two, and looking forward to seeing the whole trilogy published. So that's
all
I
am too. I want the gold leafed trilogy box set, and I would like them all autographed, please. So when that happens,
I will make sure that you get the very first copy, Garrett.
Okay, but well, I'm right sure after, there might
right
be other people.
Jill. Yeah, right after Jill.
Right after Jill, and right after the kids and the grandkids and everything. But yeah. If I'm in the top 100, I'll be happy. Okay, so A Day at the Beach. What a treat! And this is a collection of short stories. Do you want to give us kind of like a little overview of what the book is about? Also, how in the world do you come up with the stories that you write about?
I actually wrote a little bit of a blog about authors. They get asked this question a lot. Where do you come up with your crazy ideas? And a fellow that I have in the past had the pleasure to be acquainted with, a masterful writer, Gene Wolfe. I believe he responded when I asked him that question, probably in the 1970s or maybe the early 80s. He said, I get them down at the drugstore. And the thing is, it's kind of true. Where do you get the ideas for your stories? For example, in the very first story in A Day at the Beach and Other Brief Diversions, which is actually the full title of the book, the very first story is called A Day at the Beach. And we were in Huntington Beach, and we were down by the pier, and we were walking past an independent coffee shop down on the corner of PCH. And a young girl was walking, and she was walking kind of quickly, and all of a sudden she realized she didn't have her shoes on. Her shoes had fallen off. She had like flip-flops or sandals or some such thing on. And she had to go back and pick up her shoes and put them back on. In the meantime, a young man was sitting all by himself at a table drinking a cup of coffee, and he was watching her. And he just didn't move. And I thought, what if he's frozen in time? And the story kind of flip-flopped to the point where he wasn't the one frozen in time. Everybody else was frozen in time, and he was moving. So everybody else had stopped, and he was moving. And the young girl became the co-protagonist of the story, because she was previously stopped from his perception,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly she joins him between the seconds of time. And so he's been there for a long, long time. And he's lonely, and this is the first girl that he's had a chance to meet. And it's their romance of a sort.
Of a sort. It will rip your heart to shreds. Of a sort. It's the kind of story that you want, you know, you wish every book was, and you finish reading the book and you go, well, it could have been better if only it was a story about Alice and Charles, you know, at a day at the beach, you know, and then, you know, you would think those types of thoughts. But that's an example of one story, but you have a whole collection of stories in here, and your imagination is quite vivid.
But again, you know, where does the source of the story come from? We like to go to Disneyland. My wife Jill and I, we go to Disneyland periodically, and they have a show there, Aladdin, the musical, and the genie comes up on stage, and he's very, very funny, he's spontaneous, and he makes everybody laugh. And one of the plot points of this little musical that they do there is that Aladdin says that he's going to use his last wish to free the genie, but then suddenly he realizes that he might need that last wish himself. Well, through a convolution of plot devices, the genie actually does get his wish. I'm not spoiling it for anybody. I think everybody's seen the cartoon, the animation.
Yep.
And I just thought, well, what if the genie found another lamp? Is there only one lamp, or are there many lamps? And what if he found a lamp for himself, and he rubbed it? What would the genie wish for? So that was the genesis of the story in the book Jin. And what we did was just kind of explore that. What if the family got the lamp, but they didn't need anything, and they just wanted to pal around with the genie?
What a concept.
Now, as I did some research on this, the jinn, it's a fascinating history of who these creatures are and who they're supposed to be. And they've actually, we were talking earlier about Tassa's Path, the Tassa trilogy is part of a larger series of fantasy books that are all interconnected. You won't have to read them straight through in order. But the jinn really kind of take on a interesting role in one of the stories that will happen before the Tassa's trilogy. The main character's name is Tassa, for those that are wondering why I keep saying that unusual word. The jinn they're just fascinating. They're fascinating creatures. I'm not going to spoil anything on that either. I recommend people look it up. Wikipedia's got a nice article on the jinn. I'll be writing some more about that as time goes by.
And so you have all of these stories that you put in here, and this is the book that I'm reading right now actually has a brand new story that's at the very end, which totally caught me off guard, because when I finished reading my favorite story, my favorite story. I love A Day at the Beach. I love Jin. I love In the Meat. And then I get to Last Words. And it's like, oh, okay, I'd like to thank my publisher. I'd like to take, you know, that type. And it's like, oh, no, it's a story. And so I actually read this like about 10 minutes before the show tonight. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that just this slayed me. And you told me there's a new story at the end of the book. I didn't think this was it.
Yeah. But I really should put a warning label on that one, because I get a lot of reactions from people on that one, where they just go, it was the saddest story and the sweetest story, and it's the story that impacts people very, very deeply. It kind of reaffirms life. It reaffirms their purpose on the planet. And
a little bit, because, you know, this book is, you know, it's not just a story. It's not a collection of short stories that are just fun to read, that's going to make you laugh, going to make you cry. I mean, legitimate tears, not like the fake kind, okay? These are like, you know, real tears. You will cry. There's a higher purpose or a higher message that you bring to each of these stories. And and I'm not, you know, making this up, because we even put this on as a metaphysical author. What do you like to bring to your stories that you think makes these so unique in how they're told?
The term metaphysics is interesting to me, and if you just think in terms of the word physics, physics is the study, it's the attempt to quantify and understand everything around us that's physical, all of the energy that exists around us. And as physicists, as people who study physics have learned as time has gone by, everything is energy. And so it's hard to talk about things to people who don't study that, but if you start to understand that, I had a textbook in school. My physics textbook started out by saying, everything in the world is made up of atoms. Atoms are made up of protons, electrons, and neutrons. So right away I said, you know, not every. They said the smallest things in the world are atoms. Atoms are made up of protons, electrons, and neutrons. And I thought, well, right away we're wrong, because if atoms are made up of those things, then those things have to be smaller than the atoms, right? And as time went on, I found a very interesting physics professor, and he explained quarks to me, which are smaller still than the atomic particles. They're called subatomic particles. And you get small enough with this stuff, and everything is, there's no mass. It's a massless particle. And then I started to read books like The Dancing Wu-Li Masters and books that are scientific, but they get real woo-woo real fast. And they cross over from physics to quantum physics and then into metaphysics. And metaphysics is sort of that aspect of energy that we can't quantify. It's our personal experiences with the creative energy of the universe. So when I talk about metaphysics, I'm talking about your personal perceptions of the universe. You as an individual, Garrett, or you know, whatever listeners we have out there.
And so now someone told me that you call your books metafictional. Have you trademarked that name yet? Because I love that label.
We should maybe trademark that. I don't know. Jill came up with that. My wife Jill came up with that word. They're fiction, but they're based in metaphysics. Now there is a category, a genre out there called magical realism, which I like a lot. But this isn't really magical realism. This is more an exploration of connection and creative energies with the characters. So in other words, in Jin, it's an exploration of what would the genie want to create? What would that main character want to create? What is it that makes the other character satisfied to the point where they don't need to create anything? They're happy, they're centered, they're good within themselves. And the fact that they have a genie, well, the only thing they want from the genie then is friendship, is companionship, because we can all use more friends.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the metafictional tag, it's metaphysics meets fiction, and has a higher purpose. It's designed to help people explore their place in the universe.
So, well, okay, following that same line then, you know, what do you want people to get out of your stories once they've read them?
You know, kind of just that. I'd like people to feel better about life, better about themselves. One of the reviewers that I have, I probably should have pulled this review up before we started talking because I was thinking about this. One of the reviewers that we have actually commented on it and said that after reading the book, they felt better about themselves. And I got to tell you, that was the best. That's the best review I've ever gotten. It was just awesome because if I can make people feel better about themselves, that, you know, what a goal. I mean, that's what I do in my life. And Garrett, you know this. I've been a consultant and a reader for a long time. Earlier you said about my earlier incarnations on the show as Tarot Jeff, and we've done some readings on the show.
Sure.
And the goal always is to people come to me with a problem or some kind of an imbalance or some kind of a point of contention in their lives, and they don't know what to do about it. And the whole idea is to help them balance, help them find a path to move forward, something to, a place to go, to gain some space where they can actually be who they are at this moment. So you can, you know, get rid of all of the old baggage. You know, you're a good example of that. You, when we first met, you were this person, and boy, you're not.
I was
that
a
person.
Mess.
And you weren't really a mess. I mean, you were a success. You were doing really, really well, and yet you weren't happy. And so, you know, you've gone through this amazing transformation, but you've had to let go of things. You've had to let go of the illusion of who you thought you were. And you're creating a whole new person. Not really that you're creating that person, it's that you're allowing that person to be who they are. And so, again, with the books, there's little principles. You know, the thing about a book like A Day at the Beach and Other Brief Diversions, it could easily turn into a book of sermons, something preachy, something, thou shalt not do this or that or the other thing. I'm not demanding that the reader accept anything in terms of a policy or a dogma or a rule. There's principles involved, but apply the principles to your life as you choose. You know, that's and that's metaphysical. That's metaphysics. That's the goal of the book. That's the goal of my writing. Really, all of my writing is along this line. We talked earlier about the Toss trilogy. How do we deal with some of the deep questions that are coming up? How do we deal with the idea of immigration and borders and terrorism? And, you know, it's a tough, complex question, and there's no easy answers to any of this stuff. How do you deal with the point of fact that some people are arming themselves out of fear? And sometimes that might be the right choice, you know. So that's one of the choices that Tassa has to make in the book, Tassa's path.
So let me
Should
ask
she...
you
this. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. You know, because you said, you know, you could be, you know, a little preachy and, you know, say thou shalt not and use a lot of thous and shalts and nots and thes and afterwards to make them sound very official. But you write these very entertaining stories that, you know, they do have – I want to – you are first and foremost a great communicator and a great teacher and a great counselor of people. So when I read the book, A Day at the Beach, available on the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page, click the button, go buy it tonight. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, you get a lot of life lessons in here. And, it, you know, and this is a book, by the way, that if you really wanted to sit down, to be honest with you folks, you'd need probably a couple of hours to go through it. It could take you longer, only if you reread the book, because you get into the book and you can't stop turning the pages. But each story has its own little unique instruction or recommendation or life lesson that, you know, people are going to pick up on, unless, you know, you just don't have any light bulbs on upstairs. And hopefully you are if you're going to be reading this book. How would you compare the style of writing and the choice of how you write to other works that have come along in history? And I'm not trying to get anybody riled up, so unless you want to just call in, we could get people riled up. But I'm not trying to rile anybody up. But, you know, you go and read books like, and I'm just going to throw it out there so we can really, you know, have it be out there. But like the Bible, because that's a collection of stories and a collection of stories. You know, and they're all from, a you know, different periods of time, different perspective, different authors, and they all tell stories about, you know, this has happened and that's happened, and at the end of the day, you know, we hope that you don't do this and the other thing. Do you think that, you know, stories were told in that time, even though it's been mistranslated over the years and all of that, and that's a whole different topic for a different day, but yeah. Do you think stories were told like that easier for people to get and understand and apply the principles, much like what you're doing in the Day of the Beach?
Yes. The easy answer to your long rambling question, Garrett, is yes. I think that the stories make life easier to understand, make life's lessons easier to understand. A book like the Bible, which is really 66 separate books written over a period of several thousand years and translated by various people with various motivations. And again, we can get into that sometime. I don't know if you really know this about me, Garrett. I preached the Bible for 20 years. I was a Christian minister for quite some time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How do I know this about you, Jeff?
You know, we were talking the other day about coming out, you know, and this is that thing that I was saying. It's like there's a point in time. We're at a point in time where everybody just needs to come out of whatever closet they're in and just be who they are and just admit who they've been in the past and and just, you know, move on with things, you know, because you can't move on. You can't move on, you know, unless you're out of a box. You've got to be someplace where you can move and be who you are. So anyway.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Thank you for coming out as a former
minister. You know. Now, the fact is, I still am a minister, and I do. We're down in San Diego. I performed a wedding for my cousin, and it's a calling. It's not a career. It's a calling, and it's not something that you can. You can profit from it, and there's ways to do that in terms of energy exchange. And you can see some of these people that are at these mega churches who, you know, really, how many cars do they actually need, and how much of the money are they collecting that's actually doing good for the world? What are they doing for the world? I'm not trying to judge anybody here. I mean, some of these people are very, very good people, but what's the point of collecting all of that money? I saw an interesting video earlier today, and I'll get you the link for it, but it's an Aboriginal tribesman from Australia, and he's talking about, in their language, they had no words for please or thank you because they didn't need to ask, because whatever anybody needed, somebody else gave it to them.
Wow.
And they had no need for money because nobody owned anything. And he says, when you get into a social situation where you invent the word mine, this is mine, he says, that's where it all starts. So, and I it just floored me when I saw it. It was astonishing, and I really loved that video. And like I said, I'll get you the link to that. The stories that are told in the Bible, in the Quran, in the Bhagavad Gita, they don't make any sense a lot of the times. And I don't think they're supposed to make sense to us now in our day and age. I don't think that inspiration stopped when the apostles died or when Muhammad died. I think that there's still inspiration. I think that there's still things that come to us in terms of the creative energy of the universe. I don't like to use the word God, because that just conjures up so many disparate images in people's mind. But when you say the creative energy of the universe, I mean, this is what we are. This is the whole universe being creative still to this day. And we know that it's a creative energy because apple trees, apple, banana trees, banana, dogs, puppy, cats, kitten, you know, and humans, baby. You know, we have these infants rolling around on the floor, and that's because we're creative. We have these books, we have this artwork, we have this music that we can create. And this is us channeling the creative energies of the universe. Now, when we write a story, and again, hopefully anybody that reads any of my stories will find the humor, will find the pathos, the feelings, the emotions, the deep-seated connection to the heart. I don't claim my stories are great literature. They're really not. They're not intended to be. they're designed to entertain. They're designed to help pass the time. They're designed to go back and reread them again and get something different out of them. So there's layers to them, but the whole point of the story is, what are the principles of life? And part of it is, life is creative. Life is energy. We can create our lives. We can create what we want out of life. So when you read a book like Jin, or when you read a story like Jin, that's really about taking stock of what you already have and asking the question, what would you wish for and why? What would you wish for that? Do you really need that? Or can you help somebody else get what they wish for? And that's kind of the background for Jin. And again, that could be a really, really preachy story, but instead what we have is we have a young man sitting on a deck who cleans up a lamp, and the genie comes out, and the genie says, I'm the genie of the lamp. I'm going to grant you 3 wishes. And the young man says, dude, do you want a beer? He offers the genie something to drink. And the genie's completely confused by this because he's used to people saying, oh, I want $1 million and I want a Cadillac and a house in every country and a beautiful thing, you know. And the genie's used to people asking for power and things. And this young man says, dude, have a seat. Do you want a beer? Mm. And the genie has no idea what to do with that. He can't figure it out. So, you know, there's another story in there, and probably my favorite story in A Day at the Beach and Other Brief Diversions is the story called In the Meat.
Jeff, before we go into your favorite story, I want to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back. Okay, because I want to talk about our favorite stories.
Okay, and you know what? You have to remember to cut me off because I am a Gemini.
No,
and
are
I
you
go
kidding?
On.
No. So, but I know that I want to get our spot in for It Matters Radio and also Rainbow Brew. And It Matters Radio, we're kind of a co-branding partner with them right now. They're going to be on our show in November. I'm going to be on their show in December. But they have a really kind of interesting, fun video show version of what we do here. So I'm fascinated to understand what they're going to be doing because they also in past lives they did radio and now they're doing video shows. But we're going to hear from It Matters Radio and then we're going to do a quick spot from Rainbow Brew. And did I eat like 7 cups of coffee before the show? I did not. I purposefully didn't have any caffeine. We're going to hit a spot from It Matters Radio and then Rainbow Brew. Rainbow Brew, I can say that 5 times fast, and then we'll be right back.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be?
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
Oh, that's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I always love talking about Rainbow Brew because when they first approached me about doing the show, I said, how can you make good coffee if you're based in Minneapolis, St. Paul? Because you need to have like Colombian coffee beans or coffee beans from somewhere else, much more exotic than Minneapolis, St. Paul. And said, just try the coffee. And I said, okay, fine, send me some coffee. So they sent me the Rainbow Brew. It is absolutely fun and flavorful and something that I think that you would enjoy as a treat. So if you've got a coffee maker, and if you don't, why not? Save, you know, your $18 a cup at Starbucks and get some Rainbow Brew. It helps support a small business, and they either will grind the coffee for you or send out the beans fresh roasted to you same day as you get the order. And if you do place an order with Rainbow Brew, tell them you heard them here on Rated G Radio. They will flip. They'll probably do a backflip right there in the store. And it would be really cool if you went out and got some Rainbow Brew coffee. So there you go. We're joined tonight by author Jeff Michaels. He is a fantasy author. He's a spiritual author. And tonight we're talking about his book, A Day at the Beach and Other Brief Diversions. Right before the break, we were going to talk about his favorite story in the book. It's also the it's a surprising story. It's also one of my favorites. It's hard for me to say, well, that's also my favorite, because then I'm just sounding like I'm saying that about every story in the book. But each story is so different. But this is my favorite story in the book as well. Jeff, tell us about In the Meat. I thought I was going to get a steak.
The term incarnation, we use the word reincarnation a lot. The term incarnation actually literally means in the meat, carne. So when you get when you have carne sauce or you get a carnitas down at the Wahoo's Tacos there, you're talking about meat. And so when we say incarnation, that means we're in the meat. That means that if we're not in the meat, we're someplace else. By implication. So, and again, I'm not trying to push any beliefs on anybody here, but what happens in this story is a man is approached by another man, and the second man is all dressed in white, and he has a clipboard. And he says to the first man, Ben, he says, stand in that line. And he says, why should I stand in that line? He says, because it's your line. And as the story progresses, the main character finds out that everybody's got a line. And he finds out by implication that he's no longer in the meat. He's out of the meat. And he's trying to figure it out, because is he in heaven? Where is he? And the second man, who doesn't wish to be called an angel, keeps telling him, you got to let go of all your preconceived notions. Because whatever you think you know, it's wrong. Which is what I tell people a lot. When we get into discussions about heaven and hell and the afterlife, we don't know. We don't know. And we have some stories that we interpret, and we draw what we infer out of them and try to make knowledge. But the fact is, very, very few people have any memory of being between. And even having a memory of it doesn't mean that you can understand it, because your perceptive abilities here on the planet are different than what you're experiencing there. So Ben says, why should I stand in that line? Because it's your line. And so he begins to meet people, and every person that he meets is somebody that he knew while he was in the meat. And they're just kind of dumping on the guy. you broke up with me. You cut me off in traffic. You disappeared after high school. And we were your best friends, and you never contacted us. I'm your father, and you never understood me. And your mother is always crying because you didn't do what she wanted. And so he ends up with this frustration level where he says, why, you know, this can't be heaven, it must be hell. Because all everybody's doing is pointing out what a rear end I've been to them all my life. Didn't I do anything good at all? And so it's revealed that he's going through the empathy pass. And he now has to feel the same feelings that everybody else felt when he did something at that moment in time. And this is pretty defeating for him, and pretty, it just drags him down. The man with the clipboard says, okay, now stand in that line. Because he's gone through this first line, and now he's got to stand in another line. He's very upset about this. But he walks up to that line, the second line, and the first person in line is the same first person that was in the first line. Only now, instead of being angry, they express all of the gratitude. We had so much fun when we did this. I loved you so much. And so the empathy pass turns into the gratitude pass. Ask me where I got that crazy idea.
Where did you get that crazy idea, Jeff?
This is what's called channeling, Garrett. It came to me after I was standing in line at Target one day, and I tend to lag behind a little bit. Jill was actually in line, and she had the credit card out and was making our purchases. And the woman behind me says, "Are you in line?" And there's this thing inside of me, Garrett, that should probably be psychoanalyzed and removed somehow. But I turned to her and I said, "Why do you ask?" "Why do you ask?" She says, "Well, you don't have anything in your hands. You're just standing in line." I said, "I just like to stand in lines. I go around and stand in lines all day, and I hope that someday I'm going to meet everybody I ever knew so that I can apologize to them for anything that I did that hurt their feelings."
Oh my God!
And the woman just looks at me and goes to the next line. Because she can't do it. This is blowing her mind. It's like there's a man here standing in line waiting to meet people that he used to know. So I'm sure she has a very funny story about this. And if she's a writer, I'm a weird character in her book, I'm sure of that.
Uh-huh.
But I got home and I sat down, again, not intending to write this story. A lot of the stories that I write, I don't sit down to it and intend to write them. In the writing game, there's two types of writers. There's the plotters. Those people that do outlines and character studies and know the end of the book before they begin to write it. And then there's the pantsers, those of us that write by the seat of our pants. We just sit down and let it flow. Neither way is correct. It's good to have a little bit of both of those going on if you are a writer or a creative being at all. But this story just flowed out of me. And the truth is, I drew a lot of my own experiences from this. There's probably more autobiography in this story than I care to admit sometimes. But all of the characters are composites. All of the characters are people who I've known or I've known about, or and I kind of rolled them up rolled many people up into one person, because we have these similar experiences. So why do I like that? Why is that my favorite? It's a hard question for me to answer. Why is it my favorite? Because I'm not really sure. It's what I hope happens. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that we get out of the meat and go through an empathy pass and a gratitude pass. But at some level, I hope that something like that happens so that we learn our lesson. Because the universe doesn't deal in punishment and reward. It only deals in consequences. And that's what this story is about, the consequences of our actions. And just because we disappointed somebody doesn't mean we didn't love them or they didn't love us. Just because we screwed up somewhere doesn't mean that we're a failure. We just are constantly in this process, in this flow. And so Ben gets to go through this flow even after he's out of the meat, because energy can't be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. And so his consciousness is transformed. And as he goes through the story, he also is transformed. and the ending of the story, the last lines of the story, actually came to me first. They were originally the first lines of the story. So, and I'm not going to say anything more about that.
Okay, because I've got a question I have to ask you off air, because I've now got a question about the end of the story that I'm like, okay. I've got to ask, but since you said we're not going to talk about that on air, you'll just have to read the book and see if you have that same question. So let's tell everybody, tonight, well, permanently right now, Jeff's book is on the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page. And for everybody who's listening tonight and you're going like, what is he talking about? And he keeps talking about Superstar Swag. Here's the deal, folks. We have so many people that have been on the show, so many great authors, so many great musicians, so many great movie people with different projects they've come on to promote that – you've listened to them and you've said, okay, that was fun. But then, you know, the show is over and you go do laundry and it's time to feed the kids and whatever the case is. And you go to bed. And then the next night you go, I was listening to that author, Jeff Michaels, on the show, and he was talking about some beach book and genies. And what was that again? And I don't remember what it was. And it's going to be a pain in the neck to go search for whatever. I make it really easy. Anytime we have a guest that's on the show, I have a deal with Amazon now that I have to actually put the people in there who are on the show. But if they've been a guest on the show, like Jeff is a guest, I will feature their books, CDs, or movies on the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page. That's what I call it. And you can go purchase their books or CDs or movies or everybody's. Go buy them all, which is really a great thing. Everybody will love you. And you are helping an independent, self-published, in many cases, authors, musician, movie maker, help keep the lights on, pay a car payment, get to the next gig, write the next book. And you don't have to go searching for lots of complex things or trying to remember who was on the show or whatever the case is. So Jeff's book right now, A Day at the Beach, is available on the Superstar Swag button. You say, well, you keep talking about this, but where is it? There's a button that says click here on the show page. Click that. It's going to take you right there. Just like, and you're shopping on Amazon, so all you got to do is click, 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 put in your, you know, username, password, just like you normally do when you shop on Amazon 5 days a week anyway, and help support the cause. So buy Jeff's book, A Day at the Beach. But Jeff, you have a special offer that you wanted to share with the listeners this is the book that I'm talking about that's on the thing here. That's like a physical hard copy book that's going to be mailed out to you from Amazon. You have a new offer that's going to be available on Kindle. Tell us about that.
That is true, Garrett. And boy, I sure wish Jill was here because she's going to set the price downward. I think it's going to be 99 cents starting on Saturday, if I recall correctly.
Cool.
Jill is my brain, and so I don't always remember the number of stuff.
You've got a great brain.
But I think we've got that set for a special offer on starting on Saturday, and it'll be that way for, I believe, and it'll be 99 cents. So grab your Kindle, grab your tablet, and get ready to download it, but hold off until Saturday, and you get a good deal on it.
And I will tell you, another listener of the show, Nancy out of Utah, saw that Jeff was going to be on the show earlier this week, went and got the Kindle version early, read it, and gave Jeff a 5-star review today on the book, A Day at the Beach. So I thought that was really cool. So Nancy, thank you for taking time out of your day. I told you I'd give you a shout out for doing that. She goes, don't tell Jeff before the show. Let it be a surprise. So, Jeff, I'm sorry to blow the surprise, but Nancy loved your book. So there you go.
That was, and I got to tell you, I've read a few of Nancy's reviews, and she's very, very good. And she's not somebody that just gives you a free pass. She reads the book and she analyzes it. She talks very specifically about what was right, what was not so right for her. So to get a 5-star review from Nancy Silk is really, really nice. That was thank you.
And for the listeners who are listening tonight, I want to also let you know that Jeff has kindly agreed to give away a couple of copies. A couple is not 100, folks. A couple is a couple. Give a couple signed books for giveaways tonight. So if you want to call in, you can call now at 323-657-1493 or just send me a note on Facebook And the first couple of people who reply will get a free autographed copy, personalized to you copy of A Day at the Beach. And that is Jeff's gift to you today. So that is very cool. Thank you, Jeff, for doing that.
You're welcome. And I want to make a point about some of this stuff. You were talking about the swag and about people buying the books off of Amazon. So I know a lot of authors. I know a lot of artists. I know a lot of musicians. Nobody's really getting rich off of this. We put in way more time than, I mean, if you want a good paying job and you're thinking that maybe this writing thing would work for you, think again, because you probably make more money at Starbucks per hour than you would as a writer. What I do find is, and you've had some really, really wonderful, I mean, you had Gail Carline on a couple.
Gail's great.
She's very, very generous. Gail and I worked together at the Southern California Writers Conference. You've had Dot Caffrey on. You've had Kathy Porter. These are people that are good authors. And again, maybe we're not writing great literature, but we're doing work within a genre and we're entertaining, or trying to be entertaining at least. And these are people that deserve the few dollars that they get from each book that they sell. So when we offer a book for free, you know, that's money out of our pocket. And I'm not trying to make people feel bad here. I really want people to have this. My purpose in doing that is so that people will read the book, will gain something from that. And that's what really, Garrett, that's what all my writing is about. It's mm-hmm. I want people to gain something and have a better life. So that's the purpose.
Well, yeah, and not that we don't love the James Pattersons or the Stephen Kings or the Stuart Woods or the any of the other authors or the Taylor Swifts or the Justin Biebers of the world. They're great, but they've got huge PR machines with kajillions of dollars. They use $100 bills to blow their nose because they can, and we have amazing guests on this show that, just like Jeff said, they're inspired independent writers, authors, movie producers, makers, actors, you know, you name it. And they do it because they love what they do and they love sharing this with you. I don't think, honestly, and we're coming up on the start of year number four in January, in the 3.5 years that I've done this, I don't think I've had one guest on the show that from a you know, writer, musician, you know, movie person that I've either looked at their product or read their product or watched their product and gone, ugh, why did we do that? That was a mess. Every time I've had somebody on, like Jeff's book, and by the way, I've read the book 2 other times. So picking it up today for the first time in probably over a year and starting reading the story of In the Meat and then crying like a baby, you know, throughout the course of the story is like, oh my God, this is what it's like to be touched by a book. So, you know, that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of talent we have here. So, Jeff, number one, I'm grateful to you for being here. We've got a couple minutes left. I'm going to actually, you know, do the shameless promo and play Witch Sisters Halloween, my Halloween song that is out right now that's going crazy on YouTube. But before we do that, could I indulge you to talk a little bit about the Southern California Writers Conference that you just got back from and some of the fun things
absolutely.
We have of takeaways?
You know, if you're a writer, if you're an author or an aspiring author, if you're a screenwriter even, anybody that's in that mode, and you're looking for a place to kind of hang out, I'm going to mention 2 different places. Southern California Writers Conference is an annual affair that takes place. We call it L.A. It actually happens in Irvine. Because really, none of us wants to go to L.A.
Well,
it's just easier
you know.
To get to Irvine, right? And quieter and nicer, and the food is cheaper. So there's that part of it. It happens once a year. We just had it in September. It also has a San Diego event that will be coming up in February, right around President's Day. I don't have my fingertips. But if you look up Southern California Writers Conference, just Google that, and you'll get all of the juicy info that you need from that. But this is, we've been to a number of writers' conferences, Jill and I, and we've been to a number of groups. We've enjoyed most of them. This one is the best as far as I am concerned. It is the one that everybody there is a working writer. It becomes a community. It's a very, very active Facebook community in terms of people giving other people support and advice and resources. And there's a lot of resources out there that are free that that really can help the author, the budding writer, the creative. Southern California Writers Conference is one of the primary ones that I recommend to everybody. Now, there's one that happens monthly as well. It's called the Southern California Writers Association. So get it, Conference Association. This is a lot of fun as well. We meet, and again, just look it up, Southern California Writers Association. There's going to be a meeting this Saturday. It happens in Fountain Hills at the Claim Jumper. You have to RSVP on these things, but there's a meal included. There's a talk, usually by someone who's a working author, a working editor. We've had some really, really amazing people come through there. And the whole idea, again, is community. So community is communication, communing, being with people, community. It all ties together. It's words. I love words. That's why I do what I do.
There we go, everybody. Mr. Jeff Michaels, A Day at the Beach. Go buy the book tonight. Support this brilliant writer. And we're going to have him back on first quarter to talk about his new trilogy. We can't wait for that. And this is my shameless plug of the night. Go watch Witch Sisters Halloween on YouTube.
It's
Please
hysterical.
Leave a nice comment. It's hysterical. It's a
hysterical.
New Halloween classic. Everybody should.
Right.
And maybe that's the approach. Go ahead.
And Garrett, you're one of those people. You're one of those creatives that's just really just blossoming, just pushing yourself out there. And I mean, this is ladies and gentlemen, Blonde Jesus is really one of my favorite discs to come out in decades. And I'll give you the background on that one too. I used to be the music in music a lot, and I was music manager for Borders Books and Music. And I was also with Circuit City and helped control some of the CDs and things that came through there. I've been in despair about music for a long, long time because I won't mention Justin Bieber. it's sad. It's just sad because it's so manufactured and there's very little originality. And I'm all for pop music. I mean, I grew up listening to the Archies and Ohio Express and the Bubblegum stuff and the Monkees. And even the Beatles started out as a pop group. And I love pop music, and so there's always going to be a place for the Justin Biebers and the Katy Perrys and all of that stuff. It's fun. But where are the Beatles? Where are the Led Zeppelins? Where are the U2s? You see, I'm not seeing that coming up here. So now along comes Garrett with Garrett Miller with his Blonde Jesus disc, and this is exciting stuff because it's unique, it's thoughtful, it's fun. There's a purpose to so many of the songs, right, Garrett?
Inspiring me here, Jeff, because you as this man of a, you know, I want to change the world and I want to tell great stories, you know, and I sit down and write stories and I'm like, yeah, I really want people to get something out of this.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that there's so much, there's levels to Garrett's music, ladies and gentlemen. You can listen to it over and over, and all of a sudden you go, that one. So there's your shameless plug, Blonde Jesus.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Everybody, we'll be back tomorrow night with Zoe Niklaus at 7 o'clock. The secret is call in early at 6:45 so you can get your calls in the call queue and screen. Thanks for listening tonight, and thank you, Jeff.
What do we have here?
Met three sisters on the beach alone that Friday night. Gathered near a campfire kiln, their fire burned so bright. They each got up and took their turn, looking me up and down. Can we trust him? Can we tell him they would circle round? The harvest moon above was full, but showed their scary smile. Come sit with us, the three agreed, you'll want to stay a while.
Here's the way,
kiln, they poured a drink and handed it to me.
Bubbled, steamed, and smelled real bad. Drink fast!
That is the key. Lamour told of fading stars whose looks laid claim to fame. Under knives now mummified, the plastic surgeon's blame. Hag laughed out and spit a tooth when names began to drop. Like zombies of apocalypse in Hollywood, that's hot. Jinx went next and shed her hex upon some movies made. You can't cast witch without the kitsch their empire soon would fade.
Been listening to Rated G Radio.